that Charlie ever show his own. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is home.
Okay, we're back once again, and the time is 11:16. Now I'm waiting for my caller to call me to talk about tripe. T-R-I-P-E, tripe, a cow's stomach. That's coming up. So be listening. Okay, we'll you know, I only saw one time I was in a Mexican grocery store, and I don't know why the Mexican people would eat more tripe than we do, or eat it at all, because tripe is, you know, your cow's stomach. And it's really weird looking at a cow's stomach after it's processed. Strange. But hopefully we're going to find out here shortly from my call. Oh, yeah, here we go. Okay, caller, good morning. And how's the tripe?
Back with the tripe.
Yes.
When I was growing up, that was a thing we ate. Dad butchered and always saved the stomach, and Mom cleaned it and stuffed it with sausage and onions and carrots and potatoes.
Well.
Put it in the oven and roasted it for a couple hours.
Now, was that a pig or a cow's stomach?
A cow's stomach.
Okay, a cow's stomach.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now what did the stomach look different? I mean, the stuff inside would be kind of like a sausage, but the stomach itself, did it look strange?
No, it looked like a stomach.
Well, okay, so it was like a container
that
you put all this other stuff in.
And she stuffed it,
Okay, now when this was all done, was all cooked, you ate the stomach as well as what was in it?
Right, you just sliced it. She always kind of sliced it, and it was like a filling in this stomach, in this.
So there was no outstanding flavor to that stomach.
Well, it tasted like beef. I remember. It's been a long time since I've had any.
Yeah. So but now
I came up during the Depression, and she put this in a roaster and put in that copper-clad oven and just let it sort of bake most of the afternoon.
Did you live off of that for a few days?
What was left over from one meal, we had another meal. So what was left over from dinner we would have for breakfast, so it was probably gone in the day's time. I don't remember how long we did eat it, but it wasn't that long.
I have a
sister, so there was four of us eating it.
Okay. Interesting. Did you come up from Kentucky, by the way?
Nope. I was born and raised in Marion County.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh. Born on Barks Road. They tore down the house. Blanks used to have the house, and they tore the house down.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting, because you're talking about, times when we didn't have much to get along with.
Right.
And that's why you ate cow's stomach.
That's right. Nothing was wasted when Dad butchered.
Wow. Now, what about the head of a cow or the head of a pig?
Well, Dad made pudding out of that.
Oh, head cheese?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you can still buy any of that anymore or not, but, I always like that.
I've seen it in the markets, in not many markets.
Mm-hmm. It was greasy.
Wasn't it? Now, I tell you a story. I was on the air with Dan Swartz, who used to be the farm director at WMRN.
Mm-hmm.
And a listener from apparently a slaughterhouse came in one day, and gave each of us a container of head cheese. And we opened it up and looked at it.
And we looked at each other and said, oh, no.
Well, that day, we both of us had to go to a meeting at the Harding Hotel. I can't remember what kind of a meeting or banquet it was, but we took our containers of head cheese with us, and we put them both on the hat rack and left.
Uh-oh.
And I often wonder, whoever got a hold of that head cheese before it went south?
I'd love to have some of that now.
Well, that's interesting. I saw the other day, too, where they were cooking a pig's head and eating out of, you know, different parts of the pigs. Mm-hmm. Nothing goes to waste, does it?
No.
Wow.
No.
Now, I wonder if a pig's tail was ever eaten.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Put that in the beans, soup beans.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Pig's feet. They pickle the pig's feet.
Yeah, it's a different world we live in today. Now, I remember pickled pig's feet, they used to put in a jar on a bar, in a bar, and the guy sitting at the bar would eat pickled pig's feet and get, it was so salty, they'd have to order another beer.
Oh.
And that's the way it was.
Yeah, I like all that stuff. I was raised with it, so.
Yeah, right.
I didn't know I wasn't supposed to like it.
So, yeah, and you, isn't that interesting? Because now you know the difference between then and now. And sometimes I bet you wonder, too, if people had to go back and, you know, like you ate when you were younger, how did we do it? Boy.
Right.
Well,
right.
That's something.
Everything the hard way.
Yeah. Can you say how old you are?
I'm going to be 89 next month.
Okay, well, you're just a little bit older than me, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you remember the Depression? You remember World War II? And
oh, yeah. A lot has changed in this world since I was born.
Yeah, at all. Remember,
Dad still used a horse to farm with.
Yes, I remember. You know, when in the early 40s, I lived in Bucyrus, and every Thursday, I went to the producer's livestock where they auctioned off draft horses. You know, mm-hmm. and I didn't really realize then, but these were horses for work, not for play.
Right. Uh-huh.
And I remember Louis Wickersham was the auctioneer.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, I lived near Louis. But anyhow, yes, things have changed so much. And during the war, remember when we used to collect grease and tin cans?
Milkweed pods. And.
Oh, milkweed, yes.
And saved our grease. And,
yeah. I remember every time in the fall when the milkweed pods, turn and get kind of hard and the silk forms inside, I think of what you're talking about when we saved that for life jackets. It was called Kapok.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we turned that in. I don't know what agency got it, but we would turn all those milkweed pods in.
Yeah, we had those big scrap piles at school. We bring scrap in. And
oh, yes, I remember. In our school, we were lucky. We got a machine that we could stick wires in and turn a big handle and put this string or wire around bales of paper.
Uh-huh.
And then take them down to the junkyard. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we live a different life today,
right.
Don't we?
Those were the good old days.
Yeah, right. Oh, boy. It's so much different. And, of course, our telephones were so much different then, too.
Yeah, we never had one until I was 21, I think.
Oh, no kidding. Okay. Well, yes. How? That's interesting, all the experiences you've had growing up through the years and seeing things develop. And you're like me. I probably wonder, what's it going to be like in another 5 years?
I don't know. It's kind of scary.
Yeah, well, but things are happening so fast.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I wonder, when they show pictures like last night of the moon and at different planets and how they've been hit by asteroids making those big holes, why the Earth hasn't had more of that.
It is. God knows the plan for us, so
yeah.
We'll just let him.
I guess so. We'll just have to wait and see.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to learn about tripe.
Yep.
And, yeah, okay. And, boy, you took us back to a lot of years. That's great.
That's all I know is back. I don't know forward anymore.
Yeah. Well, you don't go to the neighborhood grocery store anymore either, do you?
No.
I see where Kevin Norris sold his,
mm-hmm.
and someone bought it, thank goodness.
Yeah.
But there, the neighborhood grocery stores couldn't sell enough to make enough profit to stay alive, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I still patronize little cash and carry around the corner from me.
That's good, yes.
They're small.
Right.
But I patronize them.
Well, that's good to hear, okay.
Yeah.
All right, and cars, too. Remember, we couldn't buy a new car for a lot of years during World War II.
Oh, no. Tires, no. Gas.
Oh, yeah, remember, we had to buy tires that had, what they call it, retreads.
Yeah.
Put new tread on your tire.
Right on tires.
And if it did a bum job, that tread would come off later on.
Oh, yeah. a lot of things we went through during the war.
Oh, yes. Remember in your windshield, the number you put there to designate how much gasoline
right.
you could have?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Boy.
Sugar rationing and coffee rationing.
Oh, your sugar rationing. Now, I don't know if you had it, but the black market, you know, they talk about it. Now, in where I lived, some people were hoarding sugar and putting it up in their attic and selling it to their neighbors after it was rationed.
Yeah, I don't know how they got a hold of it.
It was called the black market, illegal. Yep, and then occasionally a farmer would sell people, you know, meat.
Right,
off the farm.
Well, living on a farm, we always had meat and milk and that kind of stuff.
That's right, boy. A whole different area. Well, okay, I sure do appreciate you calling.
Okay, nice talk to you, Charlie.
Okay, call anytime.
Okay.
Bye. Yes, now, see, that gives you, and as she was talking, I was picturing that era in my mind because I went through that era. Now, we didn't eat cow's stomach, though. We didn't stuff cow's stomachs. Now, that's interesting to hear. But, the different things we had. And I noticed in the paper today, the exhibit coming up this Saturday, and Fred talked about it yesterday, the free admission to the Heritage Hall Museum, which is in the old post office, and that will be this Saturday. And they say the Historical Society is turning time back 50 years. Well, to me, 50 years is like yesterday. And I thought, 50 years? Well, that was 1969. Now, the thing is that I was an engineer at the radio station and an announcer, too, for a while. But as I was still an engineer, Charlton Myers would come in, and he would bring a whole notebook full of notes and stories. And he would sit in the studio, and I would put tape on the recorder, and then point to him, go ahead. And, of course, that was after I played his theme song, which had the Salt Rock Historical Society marching and Historical Society theme. And I would point to him, and he would do a dissertation on history. And he did a lot of those. And I did his every week. And those tapes are available. I remember giving them to the Historical Society when the radio station was being sold and everything was being removed, one big cabinet full of tapes, we were able to get down to the Historical Society. And I bet I did half of those tapes as an engineer, not as an announcer. You know, that used to be my job, boy. I often thought, as an engineer, you had to carry all the equipment necessary to do a remote broadcast. And it was heavy, you know, tape recorders and different things. I thought, man, I would like to turn the table someday where I'm the announcer and I have all my things carried for me. Well, that day never arrived because eventually when the radio station was sold, they made the announcers and engineers combine together. And that was quite a switch. And so engineers for the very first time, like me, said, or talked on the air. Now, for me, it was 13 years that I was silent until that day came when I became an engineer announcer. And I carried my own equipment. I never had anyone carry anything for me. And I did dozens and dozens of remote broadcasts where I had to carry a transmitter and all the equipment and make sure everything went just right. That's a lot of years gone by. 11:29 and a half right now. We're going to break here shortly and come back for another a half hour. And I need you, too, to join in. I'm sure a lot of you have stories you could tell. We could go on for days, probably, with people telling stories, and I would like nothing better than to do that. We're coming up now in just a few seconds. It will be 11:30 Eastern Daylight. You know, Nan Britton, the mother of President Harding's only child, wrote the first tell-all book called The President's Daughter.
Yes, it is a very detailed book, should we say?
Wow, is it detailed? I've seen instruction manuals that were less detailed.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Three, two, one. Oh, no. Which button am I...
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Okay, we're back once again. This is Thursday, isn't it? Yes. Today is the very first day of August. Yes, it is. Now, what all is going to take place before the month of August is done? Well, all of the popcorn festival pageant people will have earned their titles, I'm sure. A lot of that competition begins, I believe, on Saturday, and will come, you know, off and on, and you'll hear, I just hope that they give us a list of the winners. We need to be given information. Oh, here we go. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Yeah, Charlie, yeah. I missed just a little bit of your show, and I missed what that lady said to do with tripe.
Oh, okay. She, you know, when she was a kid, her dad butchered, and they took the cow or pig stomach and stuffed it with all kinds of things, you know, other meats and vegetables and different things. And then they, of course, put it in the oven and cooked it. And, okay. Yeah. So, did you ever eat tripe?
Long, long time ago, but I didn't know how it was done.
Yeah, right. Yeah, apparently it was used kind of like a sausage covering.
Yeah.
You know.
That lady must be my age, so you know what she's talking about, I guess.
Well, she was upper 80s.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Charlie.
Okay, all right. See ya. Okay, yeah. It was interesting. I like people like her because, you know, there are a lot of people that can relate to that era. And those that can't should hear about it to hear what it was like. But unless you lived through that, you don't really get the total feeling. Now, just like the Historical Society this Saturday at Heritage Hall will take you back to this 50 years. Well, 50 years to me is like yesterday. And so they have displays of what was popular 50 years ago. Hey, that ought to be interesting. And there's no admission price. And they might even give you free popcorn. I don't know. But, yeah, that would be highly interesting to see what they believe took place 50 years ago. Where were you 50 years ago? Well, a lot of you were well into life. And I understand, too, that George Kasotis has a birthday. Maybe it's tomorrow? I'd like to know for sure. And so George gains another year. And I'll soon gain another year. I'll be 85 in September. And I tell you, I get so tired. And today I'll go through it again. You walk into the doctor's office, and they'll say, birth date. And I say, 9/21/34. I've said that so many times, it kind of rolls off my tongue without me even thinking, 9/21/34. I've said that, I bet, several hundred times. Because whatever they do in a doctor's office or anywhere else, if they're doing anything medical, when were you born? Well, Terry, sit down. Terry Klein's here. I'm 9/21/34. What are you?
You're what?
921-34.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You were talking about tickets?
Tickets. Was I talking about tickets?
Yeah, you were talking about tickets earlier.
Okay. Yeah, well, yeah, I'm giving away things. Oh, you've got tickets. Ooh. Oh, those are tickets.
You were number one.
Oh, for the VIP.
And your wife is number two.
Well, isn't that? My wife is number two. I'm number one in the VIP tickets. Ooh.
All right. That's to the Wings and Wheels.
And the
reception.
Date on that? Yes, September the 13th, a Friday, and the it runs 4:30 to 6:30 at the Marion Municipal Airport. And yep. The big celebration, of course, the CAF Red Tail Squadron. Now, listeners need to know, what is the Red Tail Squadron?
The Red Tail Squadron, it's the CAF, is Commemorative Air Force Squadron.
I got to get the right microphone here for you. Okay, go ahead.
The CAF, Commemorative Air Force Red Tail Squadron.
Commemorative Air Force, CAF.
Yep. The Red Tail Squadron. The Red Tails were the Tuskegee Airmen in World War II. They flew the P-51s. They were escort pilots for the B-17 bombers and all the bombers.
Okay, and these were people of African-American origin. Well, none of them were born in Africa. This was the colored race, which for a lot of years were banned from anything like this.
Right, and it was the sheer ignorance of the military. I mean, they were an experiment, and boy, did they prove them wrong.
Yeah, they flew some hundreds of missions. Now, were they escorting or were they flying planes so others could fly them?
They were escorting bombers, daylight bombing missions, and if I understand correctly, they never lost a bomber.
Wow.
And a lot of the pilots of the bombers requested the Red Tails.
Okay, so their plane was, is that a P-51?
P-51.
Okay, with a Red Tail.
That's right.
Okay, now the one coming in here, the P-51, will it be look like that?
It'll be that exact one that you see on the ticket. And if you go to the website, wingswheelsmarion.org, you'll get all the information you'll need.
Okay.
Now, we only have 150 of those tickets. 20 of them are already gone, so we're down to 130.
Okay.
One lucky individual will, one ticket holder will get a flight on that P-51 Friday the 13th. Yep.
Wow.
So, and I've been given to understand that is a half-hour flight.
Well, that's a long time up in the air in a P-51.
Well,
you'd go from here to New York.
That's going to be an experience that you'll have forever.
Yeah, I guess so.
So, and the other thing too, this reception from 4:30 to 6:30, we kept it to 6:30 because a lot of people wanted to get to a football game.
Oh yes, yes.
And we've got the two Marine Osprey.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Army's Medevac Black Hawk helicopter. The Ohio National Guard, we're still waiting to hear what kind of helicopter they'll be bringing. And we've got some other pilots. One is Pete Keelan from Fort Wayne, has a 1955 T-28 Trojan trainer. And that trainer was used as a transition between piston and into jets.
Okay. All right. Made for a mighty powerful plane, too.
Oh, and we've got some really, really good food this
year. Oh, yeah. What are you going to have for food this year? Anything?
Well, we're working on a menu. We will have sushi.
Oh, really?
We will have your favorite. Yes.
Well,
sushi
good.
That you have had before a couple
yes.
times.
Boy, I go for that. I love sushi. And you know, for the most part, sushi doesn't have salt in it.
Mm-hmm.
Some does, maybe, but I'm on a salt-free diet, so I'm going to eat a lot of sushi.
Sushi with fish and then some without.
Really?
So, some people are a little squeamish eating raw fish.
Oh, I know, yes.
You know, properly prepared, you're good.
I at one time years ago was a little squeamish on, I can't eat raw fish. Well, it's you've got to do it it's not like you're going to be part of a great big experiment. No, this is something millions of people eat every day.
Well, the Japanese and
Chinese,
know,
Taiwanese.
Years and years and years. Yeah. Raw fish, eons, you know.
Anybody that lives in, anywhere in the world, really, sushi
gets
around.
You're an island nation. A lot of them eat raw fish. But,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's tuna and other kinds of fish. So
that's right. And it's all kept under refrigeration,
of
course.
It's all refrigerated.
Yep.
So we don't take any chances.
So that's going to be a great meal you've got coming up.
Well, I would say it's hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah,
it's a casual reception.
You can eat as much as you want.
We're going to have Harold Brown there, one of the last remaining Tuskegee Airmen. He has a 15-minute documentary, and after the documentary, we'll take questions, answers. He'll be bringing his book and sign autographs, inscribe the book if you want to buy a book. We've also got the Commemorative Air Force Red Tail Squadron's Mobile Theater, and that only handles 40 people at a time, but I think within that two-hour period of time, everybody should be able to get in there and see what it's all about.
Good.
And this will be without the general public being there, so only 150 people, it makes it for a leisurely event.
Good. Okay. It sounds good. And then sometime during all this, you'll be pulling two tickets. No, one ticket.
One ticket.
One ticket.
Probably after the questions and answers, after the documentary, Dr. Brown will select a ticket.
Boy, that would be something. Man, oh man. People are going to be on the edge of their chairs.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully they'll come out. Again, now we can get tickets. The only way is through our website, wingswheelsmarion.org. You fill out a form and someone will get in touch with you of where and when to pick your tickets up. It's a $50 donation.
Okay, once again, to get into this, you would go, first of all, to a Google search, right? And
if you want to type in Marion Wings and Wheels, you can do that, and it'll bring up our website, which is wingswheelsmarion.org.
Okay, otherwise, you would go to where to bring that up? Facebook?
You can get it on Facebook. You should be able to find a website, but you got to get to the website. If you don't have the internet, find someone who does, or call the airport. They'll make a note, and we will get in touch with you.
Oh, okay. Simple as that.
We hope so.
And how many tickets are going to be sold?
150.
Okay.
We're down to 130 right now.
All right.
So I would not wait. If we can get this all wrapped up and everything, we'll have a better head count so we can make sure that there's enough food for everyone.
Okay, and that will take place at the airport.
Yep, the airport, Hangar 12.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay. Well, that's good, Terry. And going back to cow stomach tripe, you've never eaten that?
No, not to my knowledge.
Well, maybe this will encourage people to go out and buy some tripe. I don't know where you'd go. Now, there's a good question. If I wanted to buy a cow's stomach today, where would I go?
Probably to Meijer. It's probably there by the oxtails.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Next to pork chops and the liver.
And cow's tongue. You know, that's something you don't see too often.
No, you don't. Anymore. Cow's tongue, you know. Mm. And liver, is it still popular? You know, I grew up eating liver once a week, I think.
Hmm. As long as there were, the ratio was one serving or whatever of liver to 10 onions.
Liver and onions, oh boy. You know, I can smell it cooking now.
Mm.
I have to go and check Scott, see if he's cooking liver back there. No. Okay. All right, well, Terry, we're going to break here. And all right, so if any questions, we've got, what is this? This is the first day of August. So we got a month and a half. Till all this takes place.
Okay. We've got a countdown timer on the website.
Oh, okay. All right. You're doing everything. My goodness. But, once again, you can access through Google, through Facebook, and where, if you just wanted to type in Marion Wings Wheels, and where do you type that in? Google.
Yeah, if you go Google,
yeah, right.
Do a search.
Right, okay. That's the way you do it. Okay, I do everything through Google.
Or if none of those, just call the airport. They'll take
your
name and
Charlie,
information.
Charlie, rumor has it, 1 year Buckeye Chuck died the morning of Groundhog Day, and you passed off a stuffed groundhog to the audience.
Well, yes, that did happen.
Did the crowd notice?
Well, not really. I just told the crowd he was scared to death of the audience, and they didn't know how true that was.
Honesty is always the best policy. WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
/180/111, and I had a stroke.
I couldn't speak. I'd walk.
150/90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again. We got about 14 minutes left in the program today. So, one last thing, Terry. You've got volunteers. Ohio Health is providing quite a few volunteers. Who else?
20 from Ohio Health. We have an individual that volunteered, Don Yeoman,
yes,
and his sister Sharon Walker. And they're going to be in charge of all the volunteers. And later, we're going to have,
Was it the CPAA,
the
Tri-Rivers
AAA,
Group?
Yeah. Yep, CPAAA, the Citizens.
How about Kohl's?
Kohl's, we're waiting to hear back from.
Okay.
Tri-Rivers has been tremendous the past couple of years. We have the criminal justice students will be out there again this year. They did a fantastic job last year.
Oh, they did, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Neat.
So, we need 40 volunteers. We're a little over halfway there. There will be information on our website, and I'll probably be back here let you know if anybody wants to volunteer, how to become a volunteer. And we're going to have two volunteer sessions. One is in, I want to say the 26th of August, but I'm not totally sure. But that'll become more clear
okay.
to get closer to it.
And volunteers will be used to help transport those people coming from the parking areas?
That's some of what the volunteers will do.
Okay. Important.
Yeah, and registering pilots as they come in.
Okay.
Passing out literature. Just various things to help help people get around to where we're going.
That's good because, you know, you can't park just within 10 feet. There's a lot of parking area, and you'll be helping bring those, especially some of us old-timers that can't walk that far.
Well, the is it politically correct to say the handicapped?
Well, sure.
Or the physically
I'm
challenged?
Handicapped. I'm wearing a 6-pound tank of oxygen right now.
Wow, that reminds me of Sea Hunt. Hey, Lloyd Bridges.
Is that right? I don't know if this would float or not.
Yeah.
I'm sure anyway, not going to try it.
You know, the folks that have the handicap placard, they're going to be able to get up closer to the terminal to get there.
Okay.
And for those, if the handicap area fills up, we've got people. Matthews Ford is the official transportation provider again this year. They are providing some vans for us. So we'll be able to bring you in. We've got enough people that can say, hey, somebody out here at such and such place, we need some help. Send the van.
Okay. Do you have enough radio two-way communication?
I hope so. We got like 20-some radios.
Yeah.
So,
oh.
And we've got a volunteer for the second year in a row, Gary Garrett from Sebring, Florida, who's come up here. He puts on a Sebring air show, and he's done that for X number of years. And he was here 3 years ago, and he wanted to be part of this. So this is the second year he's come up from Florida to help us.
Okay. Very good. Well, I need to get back to giving away some tickets here for the various things at the Ohio State Fair. And I still have Zumbezi Bay and the Open Air Safari passes. I've got tickets to get into the State Fair, and I've got tickets to get into the Dublin, Ohio Irish Festival on August 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. That's tomorrow. It'll be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in Dublin. Okay.
Did you get a box of Lucky Charms with those?
Oh, yeah, and probably a bottle of green beer, too. I don't know.
Irish whiskey.
Yes, yes. Okay, and I've got one more meal from Arby's to give away. And, okay, and a partridge in a pear tree. 7403-39944. Now, if any of you listening have ever eaten tripe and can give me any kind of a different recipe or eaten anything that we don't normally associate with animal, meat, red meat. And as you heard the lady before me say, you know, that you can eat, even a hog's head can be made into head cheese. Head
nose.
Cheese.
Yeah. Pig's nose.
Yeah.
And
the
ears.
Whole thing. Ears,
yeah.
Nose, everything but the teeth. And even the pig's tail. Everything. Nothing is wasted except the teeth. And no one's ever thought of what you do
bones.
With them. The bones, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, but if any of you have ever eaten tripe, I'd like to hear from you. Now, the one lady told how, you know, growing up in when times were more meager and less complicated than today, you ate a lot of things that, you don't even think of today because everything is more plentiful. Okay, 11:52 is the time, and I've got another question maybe I could pass along. If you'd like to win a ticket to anywhere today, if you... I started to talk about this a while back. If you wanted to burn coal and not pay so much for it, you bought soft coal. Now, soft coal had some properties to it that were not exactly what everybody liked, and that was yellow smoke coming out of your chimney and a smell to it that smelled like a boy that did something in his pants and sat on a radiator in school.
Is that where the yellow snow came from?
That's right, yeah. And anyhow, what was the name of that coal? Not the brand name, but the scientific name. What was the name of that? There was anthracite. That was a hard coal. Anthracite, hard coal. What was the soft coal name? Answer that, and you can be a winner today or say, hey, good morning. 11:53 is the time right now. And so what are we going to do this afternoon? Well, I've got to get out and go here and there. And maybe some people are going to the State Fair. I'd like to know yet about the transportation at the State Fair. Do they have anywhere at the State Fair? Do they have wagons? From one family told me, no wagons. You park a mile away. I'd like to know. I haven't heard any expressions of dissatisfaction from others. So, I don't know. Has the attendance, they don't report like they used to about the daily attendance that I know of, at least, of the State Fair. During Governor Rhodes, you heard that every day. And then they compared that with the Texas state admissions. And Ohio was always ahead. 11:54 right now. We've got about 4 minutes left in the program today. Can you tell me the scientific name for soft coal? Anthracite was hard coal. And I don't know where they, anthracite they got out of mines in Pennsylvania. I think a lot of soft coal came out maybe of West Virginia. I don't know. But where did soft coal come from? Are there any ex-miners out there? I know there are miners. And I saw an obituary in the paper today of a rather young fellow that was a welder at Union Tank Car Company. And that was something. And his his hours, funeral and everything are at Dayspring Wesleyan Church. Interesting.
He had an awful lot of relatives. That's the most relatives. Yeah, that's the most relatives I've ever seen in an obit.
That's what was that his funeral? Okay, so he was in athletics, a big person in athletics, high school athletics. Yeah, I wonder, I passed Dayspring Wesleyan, and the lot was filled full of cars. Wow. Oh, here's a caller. Yes, good morning, caller.
Hi. Yes. I heard your question about the coals.
Yeah.
And I learned in school that it was called bituminous.
Okay, you're correct. Yes, bituminous coal is soft coal. Did you? Yeah, okay. Now, do you go back to the earlier times when people burned soft coal?
Oh, I don't really know what kind. It was my parents, you know. I was just a little kid.
Oh, okay, yeah. If your parents had any money at all, they got hard coal, which burned clean. It still, though, left some clinkers. Do you ever recall your parents talking about clinkers?
Yes, I do remember that.
Ah, I can still see them now. The clinkers you had to get out of your... Oh, my. It was... I don't know what it was. Now, that would make an interesting study to know what clinkers were formed out of. But they were a problem. Okay, hey, would you like a prize today?
Yes, I would. Thank you.
Hey, what would you like here?
Zoom BZ Bay tickets.
All right, you got it. Okay, and what is your name?
Joan Brees.
Oh, okay, Joan. Very good. All right, you're one of the Brees girls. Okay, Joan. And we're open here for, you know, through this afternoon. You can pick up your tickets. Okay,
right,
Joan,
thanks.
Okay.
Bye.
All right, there you go. I know her husband. I would think it was her husband that gave me once a picture of an eagle eating roadkill. Beat that. An eagle eating roadkill, which they do. An eagle is like a rich man's buzzard. Let me just a second. She wanted to zoom BZ Bay, didn't she? Yes, okay. Okay, put her down here. All right. There, we've had a couple of winners today. And the time right now is 11:57. Terry, do you ever see an eagle eating roadkill?
No, but I'm glad you asked.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's a question for James Anderson.
I've got a picture given to me by Ron Brees of an eagle on Route 95 right in the middle of the road picking up a kill.
That must have been a really hungry eagle.
Well, eagles eat all that.
Well, I was always...
They eat more than fish.
Eagles would only... Do a fresh kill, eat a fresh kill.
Well,
so I don't
maybe
know.
So.
I mean, we don't know if the
if
eagle
it's laying
killed,
in the road killed.
Yeah, well, we didn't see if the eagle killed it or not.
Yeah.
But yeah, so.
Yeah, no, the eagle, they come along and they are, if they're hungry enough, they'll eat it. Mm. I don't know if they eat any kittens or anything.
Oh, I'll bet they would. They'd probably.
If they got hungry enough.
That'd be a heck of a snack. I mean, an owl probably would too. And
well, that's right. And that makes
hawks.
Their population dependent. Because if they've got plenty of food, they'll multiply and take in the territory as their territory. But if there's nothing to eat, they'll move on. And then we have a lack of whatever it is. But that's the way it goes. Okay.
I wonder if any of your audience has eaten groundhog or possum.
Well, I've eaten groundhog.
How is it?
No, it doesn't taste just like chicken. I don't know. I can remember eating it, but that was like 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. A lady brought to me a whole kettle full of cooked groundhog.
Well, Bill Conley used to be a gunsmith over on Bartram.
Really?
He said groundhog is probably, you get a young groundhog, and that he said it's the best chicken you'll ever have.
Yeah, they say that about a lot of things. The younger it is, the better. I like squirrel. I've always liked squirrel to eat. But how many squirrel,
how many do you have to kill to make a meal?
That's right. And then when you shoot one with a shotgun, you always have to examine them carefully to see if there's any lead shot left in. Do they still have lead shot? Maybe they ruled it out.
They got a lot of steel.
Everybody's afraid of lead. Yeah, I've bitten into more than one lead piece. Maybe that's what my problem is. But anyhow, that and $1 million will get you nowhere because we're at the end of our program today. Good to have you with us. And guess what? We'll be back tomorrow.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For Jim Lavelle, the man handcuffed to Lee Harvey Oswald when he was assassinated.
So when you're coming out the door with Lee Harvey Oswald handcuffed to you, you're there to protect him. Take me through that walk. What do you see? How did it happen?
All right, well, as I walked through the door, I could see, I've always made it a habit in my career, especially as a detective, if I went into a room where there's more than one people around, I did a quick look over of all of them, up and down. So I saw Ruby, he was standing there, and he was holding that pistol in his left hand, pressed against his leg, down just above his knee. Well, he was surrounded by police officers and reporters, but none of them was looking down. They were all looking up head high, and I saw it. And as soon as I saw that, I was already within 4 or 5 steps of him by that time. And when I saw it, then I knew exactly what was going to happen.